This episode of the Within the Trenches podcast is sponsored by Indiana Nina as well as InDigital Telecom.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 53 of Within the Trenches, and I'm recording live from the Marriott East in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the annual NINA conference. And, so far, for everything that I've seen, everything has been going good. This first class, I've heard a lot of people talking about how good it is and how interesting it is. And my first guest today is going to be, for this episode that is going to be Ed, who's the director with Bartholomew County 911 Center. And he's also the president of Indiana NINA. How's it going?
It's going very well. Very well.
Excellent. And, we were talking actually just a little bit before we started recording, and you were saying how, the class has been going good with them in there. Have you stepped in there to listen?
Yes, I have.
Reactions?
Yeah, he's got a keen interest from all of the attendees in there. It's talking about the homicide calls that come in, and mm-hmm. sometimes that the homicide caller is the killer, and going in and breaking it down and giving the dispatchers a lot of keys to follow and to listen to, mm-hmm. to just asking the basic question and being able to not only ask the question, but how you listen to the question and what leads into the follow-up. Because the dispatcher is the first responder.
Right.
When that call is made, those initial words that come out of that person's mouth are very key and can become very crucial in an investigation.
And that's what's good about conferences like this is that, dispatchers can get, not just get something out of the networking, but, all the classes that they can attend. How long have you, been with NINA?
Well, I've been in NINA about 7 years. I actually started my career as a dispatcher back in 1974 at the mm-hmm. Indiana State Police out of the Evansville Post. And I did that for about 2.5 years and then went on to become a road trooper and then eventually sergeant and lieutenant and eventually finished my career as a major with the Indiana State Police and then had that opportunity to take over a director's position with the Bartholomew County. And it's been a very rewarding and challenging position. We're an intermediate-sized PSAP. We have been a central PSAP since 2001, so we dispatch for 17 agencies down there. And being able to run out of one operations has just really helped our communications, not only for the public, but then for the public safety personnel who respond out of our center.
So, and in that time, how the change has been for you, from the way it was when you first started to now with, all the different technology that's starting to hit and, switching from the landlines, those dedicated landlines and then switching to, new systems like IP based and all. How's that been for you?
Well, you nailed it. It is the technology, the multitasking that these dispatchers have to do day in and out. I don't think anyone could ever appreciate the good work that they do every day of having that ability to multitask. And I tell my dispatchers and I tell people that visit that they just don't know how good they really are when, it's oftentimes they get to be the brunt of the Monday morning quarterback. If something doesn't go right, let's blame the dispatcher. But
Right. Quite
frankly, those dispatchers are in there, are busting their chops in each and every day. And probably the greatest compliment that a dispatcher can ever get is the fact that when that firefighter, that police officer says to them, I'm glad you were behind the mic tonight. And it means a lot to them and it means a lot to the people that are out there. I've been on both sides of the fence, mm-hmm. but the technology obviously has been the change and the fact that it never becomes stagnant because even though you might think that, okay, I'm good for now, well, that something new is coming along the way. And I was asked a question one time in a council meeting, said, well, why do you have to be the best? I said, the day that we stop being the best and striving to be the best is the day that I'm going to step away from public safety.
No, I completely agree with you. I've heard, the same thing. And, sometimes I know, just like with the general public or even my family who, they've only heard me talk about it, but being that, that go-getter, that wanting to be the best all the time in that sense, I would always say, or when they would ask, so how's work been? And I'd say, you know, it's been kind of slow. And like, isn't that a good thing? I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand that, you know, we want something to happen because we not only want to help them, but you know, that also gets us through the day. So,
and you have to take the good days of slow days because you know, in public safety, there's just, it just doesn't happen by schedule. It happens right by what happens in the events out there. And our training has to be the best. Our equipment has to be the best, because if we're on that other side of that phone line and we're calling 911, we expect nothing but the best
right
on that and the quickest and most efficient way. And to see these folks, the way they work day in and day out, you know, it's just remarkable. And the fact that, you know, you take a dispatcher that starts out and you kind of hit that 3 and 4 year mark, and that kind of makes or breaks them how long they're going to continue on this job. If, you know, I've got some that have been around 20 something years, and it's, mm-hmm, and we have a lady in the state that's been on over 40 years dispatching.
Wow.
And you think of the number of calls she's taken, a number of people she's helped, never met them, but she's been that vital link for them each and every day that phone rings. And, it just takes a special kind of person, a heart of gold, and you don't take anything away from those ones that leave early, mm-hmm, but you can understand the stress of those calls that come in each and every day. Because no one is calling 911 because they're having a good day.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a pretty tragic situation going on in their life.
Yeah. And you know, building up to that with the stressful calls. Now, there's going to be a speaker who's going to come in and give a class on stress. Is it stress management or just stress with dispatchers? I know it's Deanne Somerset. Her and I have spoken before, her and I and Jim Marshall. So
I think it's going to be a combination of both. I think it's going to help them understand, mm-hmm, you know, that they're not alone. And what's neat about these conferences is the fact that we've encouraged our attendees to interact and to network with each other, because they may feel like they're isolated over on one side of the state, but really their problem isn't unique. It's the same kind of issue. It's maybe just in a different perspective or different scale.
Right.
And that can kind of help them guide through that. We hope that what they take away from the conference is that they've made a new friend, they've got a new contact that they can pick up that phone and say, hey, what about this or what about that? And dealing with that stress. And what we find is in, you know, in my dispatch center, we have a 25 personnel that work out of that center. And, mm-hmm, and when the ranges are from 20 years old to 55. And for those young 20-year-old dispatchers who are dealing with those life issues right off the bat, their maturity level or their is just at such an accelerated rate than, say, a normal person that's not dealing with those kind of issues day in and day out. And I've had folks that's come say, I would stay if I could. I just don't know that I can handle the pressure each and every day like some others. I understand that. And I thank them for their time. And I completely understand that.
See, for me, what was therapeutic for me was writing all of the stuff down. And that's how this show started, was me just writing on a blog, you know, all my calls that I took. I was talking to a couple people earlier, and you know, I said I would go home and I would talk to my wife. I would tell her what was going on with me during that shift, you know, what was going through my head during that call, and, you know, just getting it out. And then, you know, I finally take a moment to look right at her as I'm just, you know, vomiting all of this that's happened to me. And she's just standing there. You know, I was like, I don't really know what to tell you. So, you know, and that, and, you know, the closure, you know, having closure after a specific call or a bad call, mm-hmm, you know, that all of that adds to the stress. So, you know, it's good that you guys have this, you know, the speaker that's going to come in to talk about that.
Well, you really brought up a key point, having that spouse that can listen and be your sounding board for you. Sometimes you know, the confidentiality thing is that you've got to hold certain things back. Obviously you can't share because of investigations,
right?
But
yep.
You go home and you can talk to your spouse. And I know if it hadn't been for my spouse and all the years on the state police and even where I'm at now, that she's helped guide me in that support and have given me a different perspective of what I needed. So there really needs to be a kudos out to all those spouses,
yeah,
of those public safety. And whether you're EMS, fire, dispatcher, law, it doesn't matter. because it is a different stress because they're under a lot of pressure each and every day. And I tell my dispatchers that they got to remember, you know, that sometimes you will hear that radio traffic that will get a little bit excited and maybe sometimes even a little bit of an attitude you might see on the radio, but you got to think about what are they going through out there at the scene? What are they looking at? What are their hands on?
Yeah.
And that's really a big thing. And you just have to be there because what they're listening from you is that calm voice. And if you're calm to them and you've got them rolling what they need, they're going to think back later. Thank you for being behind that mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and my wife, even though she didn't always know what to say to me, like she would respond the best way she could. And even that was, you know, that helped me out. And so that was always, you know, good. So thank you, wife. I love you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For being there for me. You know, I wanted to ask this right in the beginning when you had said you made your switch, but you know, we started going through the motion there and it was good, but I want to backtrack just a little bit. What was it like for you switching from the hot seat, so to speak, to, you know, being on the road? What was that like?
Well, what it gave for me when I went from the dispatch role to the state trooper role mm-hmm. is that it gave me a better understanding and knowing what those dispatchers are going through in there and you know, knowing what their capabilities are, knowing what their limitations are, and knowing what my responsibility is as a public safety officer. You know, I can't expect that dispatcher to do my job for me all the time, even though sometimes that happens, as you well know.
Yeah.
That, it's almost like some will think, well, they do this, they do that for me. But, you know, I still had responsibilities to do. But I felt, you know, my lifetime goal was to become an Indiana State Trooper. And I lived that dream. And I followed my dad's footsteps. But it was just a great insight for me to start out in dispatching and getting to know those troopers one-on-one and what they feel like, or they could come into the post and talk to you about what was going on out there at the scene and kind of seeing what they were, how they were reacting. And then when I got out to the scene, and started doing that, I just felt like I had the complete package. What's really difficult for dispatchers is the fact when they're talking to someone about giving CPR instructions or asking someone to do a certain thing, they're trying to take control of a scene they can't even see.
Right.
And when I was on the dispatch role, I felt that. When I was on the trooper role, it was much easier for me to do things than it was to try to convince someone to do it. Mm-hmm. And the dispatchers have to come across, one, that it's, you know, they're not going to be you know, politically correct on all of their statements because they've got to cut through the chase and they got to get right to it so that every second counts because lives are saved just on the things that they're trying to get. And it's not that they're trying to be rude. It's they've got to be direct and they've got to be assertive and take control of the call. And I learned that not only did that help me on the dispatch side, but the same thing happened on the investigative side as I grew older in my law enforcement career.
Now, with that said, do you think it's a good idea for the officers to maybe go into dispatch every now and then, maybe even for an hour or so, just to experience that themselves?
We have a program. We work closely with our sheriff's department, our police department, fire departments, and our paramedics in Columbus that a requirement for them is that they come in and they spend time in a dispatch center as part of their training curriculum. We did that on the state police. They do it locally and it really does help. And we open up our door for any of our public safety people to come in and say, hook up, listen, what's going on? And especially the ones that want to be the Monday morning quarterback. Well, I think I could have got that out a little sooner.
Yeah.
But they realize very quickly how much is going on. And something that happens where dispatchers don't have that opportunity to do is to kind of decompress just a little bit. If I had a serious call, whether it be a homicide or a fatal accident or whatever that could be, there was a period of time I was in my car driving to and from someplace, and I had several minutes or time to kind of decompress and get my thoughts together, where that dispatcher that deals with that heart attack victim may hang up and the next call may be a suicide or an attempted suicide or something of those kind of things. And so they don't have any time to really decompress and think through it. So they have to be mentally sharp. And we tell our folks that and encourage them, not only if they need to come up and talk about it, we have a chaplain available that we can call it necessary, but most of the time it's just them coming upstairs to my office. We play the recording, we listen to it. And I've had them ask, I just want to make sure I did everything I could possibly do. I just wanted to feel that I did okay. And a particular case that we had many years ago, had just started as director. I had a young dispatcher that had come up. It was a 10-month-old baby that had died, had fallen and had died. But he was giving the mother CPR instructions and everything he could do, and a tragic, tragic story. And what really hit home for him was the fact that he had a son the same age, and he just wanted to make sure that he did everything. And it was a 10-minute phone call because she didn't know where she was at. The technology wasn't available where we could ping her location from her cellular phone at that time. And it took a little while to get the medics there. But we did all we could, and he did all he could and did a remarkable job with that. But sitting back and analyzing that does make them feel a little better. Obviously, it's a tragic thing, but we always learn from cases like that where we can always improve. And you never take public safety for granted to where I don't have to improve anymore. You always got to think, I'm going to do better next time. Even though you did it very well this time, how much better can I do it next time?
Right. No, I know exactly what you're getting at with the, you know, the analyzing the calls, because I know there was a few times where I had taken a call and I knew in my head that I had done everything, but I needed to listen to the tape. I wrote down times. I would really dig into it and analyze it to make sure that I did do everything. And it's funny how, and I've asked, you know, coworkers about the same thing, you know, that we immediately start digging into ourselves to see what we might have done wrong, even though we know we did all we could and we did right. But you just need that, I guess, you know, kind of that closure, that ending there where you need to know that that's what you did.
And you cannot accept complacency as being, you're doing your job, but you've got to think about, and I have encouraged our folks to say that, you know, especially our new ones, is take what you've learned from today and make tomorrow better. Right. Always make tomorrow better. And think about what I did right, what I did wrong, what can I do to improve, and be willing to accept constructive criticism.
Yes.
You know, that is so huge, not in just public safety, but everywhere. And, you know, being able to be coachable, being able to listen and don't think that somebody's trying to put them down, because when somebody's trying to help give them that information to make them better, they're just trying to help them. And sometimes the words are a little tough, a little strong, and there's the right way and a wrong way of doing that. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's not given out in a right way. But
right. But
when it is done in the right way, I think you get very positive results.
And I had this thought in my head of trying to think of what it was now. I'll have to go back to it.
I have those all the time.
Yeah, you know, the same thing happened just a minute ago when I was doing the other episode with Jeff. He was talking about something and I had it there. And as soon as he was done, I went to say it and foomp,
there it
just went out.
Jeff has an impact on a lot of people.
I might as well have had an open mic or something and said something bad. Did you ever have any moments like that?
All the time.
Open mic?
Oh, well, yes, we have actually. We've had a lot of open mics in my career when I was dispatching, and we just really can't hardly say what was said on a couple of
course.
We don't want to put that over the air.
Right. I know that I was on radios once, and well, it's happened many times when I was in dispatch, but you know, I was on radios, and for whatever reason, our console for the radio portion, the button to key up would stick, and it didn't happen, you know, constantly, but every now and then It's you hit the button and you're saying other stuff, and you look up and you see the red box there that it's still open, and it's
went all it's hot. For the world to hear. So then,
yeah, I was talking about a credit card or something that had happened. Someone stole my credit card and or my number, and it had to do with some website for my wife and a friend of hers, and all the kids had gone to, I think it was Utah is where they went. And they wanted me to get them a room on this one of the websites, which I won't say, to get rooms at a discount. And they ended up giving out my number. So I'm telling the story, and after I unkeyed, I pick up the story right where I left off, and I swore a couple times. Mm. And I get these messages just popping up on my screen, like asteroids or something. Yeah. And they're like, hot mic. I was like,
those are not good. No.
Luckily it was about 3 a.m. So the people who would usually be listening were not listening.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. What I was going to say before that it slipped my mind was that you always have to tell dispatchers. I was a supervisor for the last few years that I was in dispatch, and I always told them, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you're doing a bad job. I want you to learn from this. So don't think I'm picking on you. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, you know, be coachable. You know, you want to learn, because later on, if you decide that you want to move up in the rankings, you know, supervisor, assistant director, whichever, you are going to be in the place that I'm in, and you're going to be telling someone else. So remember this.
and that's exactly correct. I mean, you think about, I look at my career. This year I marked my 40th year in public safety. And, you know, there's a new generation right behind me, several generations behind me, mm-hmm. You might say. But you have to think about, I want them to be just as on the game as somebody was to make me try to be on my game and to serve these people. And it's just such a difficult job to do day in and day out, and to come to work. And you have to come to work every day with that positive attitude and think, okay, I'm here to help these people. I know it's going to be tough. And to think that I'm going to be that link in the fastest, as quick as I can get that information extracted from them and get that help to them. And even in the old days when I was dispatching, I mean, there's still that little bit of, you know, energy in there, or you might say concern that, okay, you've dispatched these officers to the scene, you know, they're on the way, and you really don't rest. You really don't rest until they're there,
right?
That you know that they're there and they're safe. Because what we want in dispatching is that every police officer, paramedic, firefighter, that they go home every night, and that we've done our job to make sure that that happens. They have to still think on their own and do all the things out there, but we don't want to lose that connectivity with them. And today's technology allows us to be even much, much more in tune with their activities as they go on, and with the CAD systems and the radio systems and the AVL systems we have in this cars to know, and we can track them. But we still, you know, you put your head on that pillow at night and you think, I did the best I can do.
Right. You know, and I remember a conversation once with, I think it was actually in a staff meeting. We were talking about, you know, morale and coming in, and, you know, people were saying, well, it's hard to come in when you have a job like this and just be happy. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, well, you know, if you have someone come in and is pretty happy, you know, that's going to affect you. Or if they're upset, they're going to affect you. And a couple of them were saying, no, they're not going to affect me at all. I decide how I'm going to feel. And I remember saying, no, one of the supervisors there, if I come in to dispatch and I am very upset and I'm not really talking to you guys, you are going to feel that. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to feed off of my bad attitude, and the whole night is going to be shot. You know, no one's going to be really talking unless we really have to on a call, but you know, it does affect us. So it is hard to come in with a good attitude sometimes.
Well, the thing we see is, when the rubber meets the road, or has to meet the road, you might say, and that they're extremely busy, these folks do a remarkable job. Mm-hmm. But it's like any business, that when things are stagnant and things are not going on and you can have, and I've even kidded around with my staff, said, who's going to be on the drama club this week, you know, because, you know, something's going on or whatever. But when that rubber meets the road, and it, the proven point of this was back in the flood of 2008, when we were hit in Columbus, Indiana, over 2,900 homes were damaged down in that part of the state. I didn't have to call dispatchers in. They called me and they came to work.
Wow.
And we at that time had a 6-position PSAP. We ran 8 dispatchers, 12-hour shifts. And the reason we ran 8 is we had that one that was just a relief dispatcher that was going along and getting them off the radio and off the telephone. And another one who was having to help make calls, because at that time our phone system wasn't really capable of handling the volume of calls we had coming in. On that particular day, we had, in a 24-hour period, we had 4,546 calls in a 24-hour period. And one of the dispatchers turned and looked at me at the time and says, I don't think we can help these people anymore. And I said, yes, we are. And we actually, I said, we're going to go to paper. And I, you would have thought we would have thrown a big curve in there, but we had to put things on paper. Our CAD system wasn't functioning like it should. Mm-hmm. Our phone system was just barely going on like it should. But for the last 6 hours of that 24 hours, we were averaging 410 calls an hour.
Jeez.
And it was absolutely an unbelievable day. But I just felt so proud of the people that worked for me, the men and women who came in, that I didn't have to ask them. They knew what we needed.
Right.
They didn't have to have it explained to them and drawn out on a piece of paper. They knew their job, and they did it very well.
That's awesome. So in the 40 years that you've been with public safety, you know, the 911 community, congratulations, by the way, on those 40 years. What do you think has been the biggest moment out of your career, whether, you know, it was in the beginning with dispatch or when you were out on the road or as a director, you know, what's something that has really stuck with you?
Well, when I was with the state police, I had many opportunities that it allowed for me, being able to meet and shake the hands of different presidents during presidential security. But quite frankly, you can take all of those huge, huge moments in your career, and I could go on and on about police stories and even dispatch stories, but I think the ones that mean the most to me in my life is the ones that when people walk up to you later and after I've been retired so many years, and they put their arm around you and they say, thank you for being there when my son was killed in a car accident, or and telling me and the way you handled that. I had one lady reach me on Facebook just a few months ago, actually, where she asked who I was, and I responded back, and she related a story to me about me being at her home with her and her mother. She was 14 years old when her brother was killed in a car accident, and I went over there and spent that time with them until we could get family there. And, you know, it's not something you read about in the paper, but it's the thing that you think about. Whatever I said or did I do the right things, and am I doing the right things? That's what means a lot more to me than all the accolades. I could go on and just have so many great things, working the winner's circle at the Indy 500 a couple of times and standing down there with Ari Leyendyke when he won the race, and you go, wow, they're paying me to do this kind of thing. And, right. You know, it's a pretty awesome experience. Yeah. Or state fair, just so many different things that came up. But then in this career here that I've had, the people that I'm working with, not only in my dispatch center, but in my community, I feel very fortunate to be able to work in the community that I worked as a road trooper, and I was a post commander in that district, and still being connected and being able to be an integral part of the public safety, to where, you know, we can offer a little bit, not only from my dispatch side of it, but then from my previous career, which will help kind of help us develop our plans.
That's great. So going into the wrap of this episode, you know, we're here all week for the NEDN conference here in Indiana, and for any dispatcher who, whether they're just starting out or have been doing this for a long time and are thinking about coming to a conference or talking to their assistant director or director to come to a conference like this, you know, what would you tell them to say, or, you know, just some motivation to, you know, go out there and actually do it instead of just thinking about it?
Well, I think the idea is, and I think what I have felt from the last couple of years with these conferences is the fact that how it can recharge that dispatcher. You know, I think they get forgotten about quite a bit, quite honestly. And I tell our dispatchers, and I told the folks in there just a little bit ago, you know, you are not just a dispatcher. Right. You are the dispatcher. You are that vital link. You are the ones that are that first responder that gets the help there. And it's just as equally important for you to get this kind of training as it was for me in my law enforcement career, whether you're a firefighter, paramedic, or whatever it would be. You have to be recharged, and you can learn new ways and find out that you may be in some small community in southern Indiana or northern Indiana, wherever it is, but when you can come here and you can hear the things that they're hearing in these conferences, the training that they're getting today, the training they're tomorrow, and being able to talk to people, it's going to help them go back to their director and say, hey, there is a better way. And you know, and hopefully that director or that sheriff or police chief or whoever that is will have open ears enough to say, hey, you know what? It's not always because we've always done it that way. Here's a way that's working because right. Bartholomew County's doing it, or Steuben County's doing it, or Vandenberg County's doing it. And let's call them and find out more about how they're doing it. And that's what's going to open the doors to make them better. And I think like I said earlier, the networking is really the most key element of these conferences, along with all the training that they're going to be getting.
That's great. Well, thank you very much once again for joining me on this episode. And for anybody who's listening right now, if you have any comments or questions, you can email the show, and that's WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that is @911podcast. You can also find us and like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this episode will be up and available 24/7 on thejabberlog.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spreaker. Have a good one.